please know, as you walk a life of loving consciously, you will be divinely guided, you will be divinely protected, and you will start to see where divine will and the divine plan is asking you to surrender so that you can live a life of absolute and complete joy and abundance.
Whatever is happening right now is for our highest good. The most important thing in this moment is to hold our spiritual frame. It's to hold a place of gratitude and love.
Consciously seek the divine. Consciously choose to be a light worker. Be a person who is in service to something and someone other than themselves. Beam people love. If someone cuts you off, beam them more love. If somebody's having a challenging day, beam them even more love. No matter what happens, no matter where you go, no matter what you touch, leave it better than you found it. Be the light, friends, because that is what is going to be required of us as we move forward in this world. As we build this new earth and more people awaken, they need us to hold that light down right now.
Now, notice the difference in the energetic signature of making an action in our lives based off of a fear versus making a choice for our life based on faith. Because we are nothing without our connection to the divine, and we are nothing without each other.
Welcome home to the Loving Consciously podcast. My name is Amaris.
And my name is Eric.
And if you are like us, nobody taught you how to love. We are best friends and life partners here to vulnerably and authentically share our journey while exploring the sacred realms of love, consciousness, relationships, spirituality, and all that they encompass.
The intention of this show is to help you consciously relate to yourself, others, and everything else in this universe. Together, we can embody a more intentional and fulfilling way of giving and receiving love.
Loving consciously. Through 8 years together, we have had the opportunity to overcome deep patterning and programming, as well as trauma related to mental health, addiction, pregnancy loss, infidelity, and immense grief. After 6 years of experiencing these challenges with no knowledge on how to heal or love each other, we separated.
After us both spiritually awakening and recommitting, we formed our conscious partnership and have spent the last 2 years cultivating a divine union founded on unconditional love, devotion, and commitment to personal growth.
Thank you for joining us and doing the work alongside us as we explore this beautiful world of love and consciousness to co-create a new world of love.
As you courageously walk this path, remember to have grace with yourself and know that you have both the capacity to love consciously and the power to always choose love.
Namaste and welcome back to the Loving Consciously podcast. We have been away from you for 2 weeks, and today we are back to talk about surrender. We have three major sections that we're going to cover today. We are going to do a relationship check-in, where we are going to get really raw and vulnerable about where we are and what we're navigating in our partnership. After all, that is a big part of this podcast. The core meat of this episode is talking about surrender, surrendering to love, to the divine, to the universe, whatever word you use there. And we're going to be using some really challenging experiences we've had over the last 2 weeks and why we've been away to show you how powerful surrender is and how you can work with this concept of faith over fear and free will versus divine will and the many things in that. And then we're going to do a little bit of a spiritual check-in of where we are right now in the climate of the world, of the universe, of everything that is unfolding right now. Before we get into that, over this last 2 weeks, when we last checked in with you all, we were in Boston, and we had one more week to go of being there. And we're going to get into all of these things more because they are some of the examples of that surrender section. But in the last 2 weeks, we've had a major issue with our trailer. We got back on the road. We had a really, really divine experience in Connecticut. And then we have had quite the ringer of a time followed up by a really divine and profound spiritual experience here in New York City, where we're coming to you from today. We are supposed to be getting back on the road today to head to New Jersey for a night, and then Lancaster, and then onwards toward Virginia. We are currently sitting in limbo, kind of waiting to see what's going to happen with our car right now. But all of these are really beautiful examples because they just continue to offer us opportunities to surrender and have faith and requalify and work through a lot of our old programming around safety and fear and not panicking.
I'm not gonna lie, this has been the most challenging 2 weeks that we have experienced in quite some time. It has been filled with experiences to really encourage us to choose love, to surrender to the divine plan, and to really exercise our spiritual practices that we have been learning and implementing in both ourselves and in our relationship. It's a beautiful testament to the fact that we're doing this work alongside you, and it's really pushing our limits. And it's like going to the spiritual gym, and each time you get that one extra rep, you get to hold that consciousness and hold that love and light just a little bit longer, bounce back just a little bit faster with grace after a pattern. And it's beautiful. It really is.
Moving right into our first section here, which is a little relationship check-in. Maybe we should do these more often. We did an episode not too long ago called Loving the Unconscious Consciously. It is quite a lot to digest, but it is one of the more profound things we've ever created, where we really dove into talking about allowing your patterns to play out consciously, observing them, and learning from that experience. And that's kind of our new baseline now, you know, as we've really been deep in this work for several years. And this last few weeks, our relationship has been navigating some really interesting challenges in watching some of those patterns play out. What we've noticed, though, is we are bouncing back quicker than we ever have. Most of the time, within minutes, if not an hour. And it used to take us like days or weeks. Like, conflict was really intense for us. That's a big part of our story was, you know, we were a high conflict people. And so two things that I really want to call out here that have been coming up of why I think we are navigating this as easily as possible is grace. You know, there's been a really strong spirit of grace in this marriage, in this partnership, of having grace with each other and having grace with ourselves. And I'm noticing it mostly because I think we've reached a time spiritually, which we're going to get into later in our spiritual check-in, where it's kind of not optional. You know, what is going on right now is so strong and so undeniable and so present in our experience. I can't even not have grace. Like, I see you going through something challenging and I'm like, I'm going through it too, bud. Like, it's okay, you know? And so grace has been, pun intended, our saving grace. It really has been. And the second one is this concept of, this came to me writing this, was creating your own Garden of Eden, creating a sanctuary within your relationship, remembering that you are teammates and that, you know, what's going on externally in the world, you are in this together. And one of the biggest patterns of our egos that I think kept us in suffering and conflict for 6 years was around being each other's enemy and really projecting out onto the other person, which I think a lot of you listening can probably relate to. It's a really common pattern. And so as we've, you know, healed many of these parts of us and our relationship, we've really started to remember much quicker, and sometimes it's our default now, that we're a team. We're in this together. If I'm feeling overwhelmed, or you're feeling overwhelmed, or we're navigating or purging or detoxing or ascending or whatever's going on, we're both going through that together. And so can we choose grace? Can we remember love? And can we come back to our own little sanctuary Garden of Eden here that is within you and I?
That's beautiful. Yeah, that sanctuary and that little garden where our inner children can come together and hold space is so crucial during this time as we all begin to navigate the challenges in our relationships as they all come to the surface to be worked through. It's important to have that safe place where you both can go to kind of debrief, to heal, to return to love before continuing on. Something that has helped deeply for me in this path has been recognizing when my partner is having a challenging time, when I'm activated, when seeing my partner having an experience activate something in me that wants to change their experience for my safety. So essentially seeing my partner in a state of overwhelm and then saying, I can't have my partner be overwhelmed right now because then I have to feel those feelings alongside of her. And so if I'm identifying with that ego pattern, I'm going to do everything in my power to ensure that my partner is not feeling that state of overwhelm. And what that translates to my partner is that what she's feeling is not okay, and that I know better, and that I have the capacity to control her experience. And then there's resistance there. When I separate myself from the experience and say, okay, my partner is feeling a state of overwhelm, rather than trying to change her experience, where can I feel that state of overwhelm within myself, have empathy, and just allow her to feel into that experience fully, to create a container and to just be in a state of non-judgment and non-reactivity, to allow her as the feminine and me when I'm in my feminine to really just roar those crashing waves onto a shore of safety.
That was really beautiful. And as you were talking, I just kept hearing, you mean like surrender? Like surrendering to allowing your, whoever you're unconscious relating with, right? This doesn't have to just be romantic. Allowing them to have their experience and not identifying with it, not allowing it to trigger you, and not allowing it to change your experience, right? And that doesn't mean dismissing or ignoring it. It just means showing up for them in a way that allows them to navigate that experience, which is probably already challenging enough without you judging or trying to change or being triggered and then making conflict or making it about you and your experience. Like, it's a real test of, can we, and I think we're learning alongside everyone and we're doing a really good job this last few weeks, can we choose love in those moments and allow the other person to have their experience and show up for them? To remember, I'm not my triggers and my patterns and my ego right now. I'm a partner, a friend, a parent, a sister, whatever it is. And the person I'm consciously relating to is navigating something challenging. And I have the power to literally change their world, change the world, change the experience right now by truly, authentically showing up with just love. The other two things that have been really big in our partnership right now, the first one is consciously focusing on deepening intimacy. I don't think people talk about this enough. I mean, we never really talked about intimacy the first like chunk of our relationship, not consciously and not consciously trying to cultivate that. You know, I heard recently, I was reading something and it was saying, you know, intimacy is like being able to bare your soul naked and unashamed, all of it, right? All of the things in front of another person and be seen and be loved and be accepted. I think so much in our partnership, I had this notion that like you were the one with the intimacy problems. One of Eric's gene keys is the shadow of dishonesty with the corresponding gift of intimacy and the city of vulnerability. And so what that means in the gene keys is when he's living in the shadow of dishonesty, intimacy can't be present, right? You can't have the light and the dark. It's kind of a one or the other. And what I've been realizing in this last few weeks, as you have beautifully and intentionally shown up as the divine masculine to cultivate more intimacy, is, oh, I am actually really uncomfortable in a lot of these situations. And I have a tendency to like really shut down and when I get uncomfortable. And it's really pushing me to be a co-creator in our intimate life. And, you know, when you say intimacy, like a lot of people, I think, maybe go right to like sexual encounters. And intimacy is, to be honest, I don't even think it has anything to do with that. Like, that's a very small part of it sometimes, but like, it's really vulnerability. It's an energy. It's a trust. It's a connection of here I am. You know, for us, some of our most intimate moments this last few weeks has been crying in each other's arms. And it's gone both ways. And we've done it together. There have been a lot of tears in the last 2 weeks. Like, no lie, y'all. A lot of freaking tears have been happening because there's just so much release happening. And that's good. right? Like those really vulnerable, intimate, snot crying moments of being pulled over on the side of the road or laying in bed or I just can't anymore or you just can't anymore and just reaching that breaking point and bringing the other person into your arms. So that's been a huge thing, is really focusing on deepening our intimacy.
And boy, has it been a beautiful practice of patience and grace and deepening love. You know, it's interesting to me because when we first started this partnership all those years ago, intimacy was something that came really, really naturally to both of us, I feel. We really quickly dove into this relationship. We were very quickly vulnerable. And that's a lot. That's very common in twin flame-esque relationships, in spiritual relationships, where our souls know each other for a long time. And what's interesting to me is that over the course of, you know, this 8-year partnership has been experiencing lots of traumas and wounds together and actively triggering each other. And so these barriers kind of got put up by our egos and calluses grew on the relationship. And so while it can be really easy and almost effortless sometimes to go into a deep place of intimacy in a new partnership, sometimes in longer partnerships, it actually takes conscious effort to return to intimacy, because you go through that season of kind of honeymoon phase of growing deeper in love to growing these calluses over wounds that we have an opportunity to address. And then the real work begins of shaving down those calluses, bringing down those walls with the people that we love so that we can return to a even deeper place of healing and love, rather than exiting that existing relationship to find something new.
Yeah, so true. So we are consciously navigating some of our divas patterns still, always doing it with grace and creating our little sanctuary garden of Eden. We are focusing on deepening our intimacy, and we are in a really beautiful and conscious preconception phase. I don't think people talk about this enough. There is, I think, a really kind of wide belief that conception begins at the time of conception. And, you know, if you're someone who has worked with preconception, that's beautiful and that's amazing. However, the general population doesn't. I certainly never knew about it. We did not have preconception. The preconception of our first pregnancy was getting off birth control and consciously trying to conceive. Like, that was all there was. Now, as conscious people and people who take their spiritual growth as the utmost importance above anything in their lives, moving into parenthood is a very conscious thing for us. We take it very seriously. Arguably the most serious thing my soul will ever do in this lifetime is stewarding another soul into this world, physically, literally, being the portal of creation for these beings to come in, and being a conscious parent, because conscious parenting, you know, is very new and is definitely not something that I had modeled to me. And so in this preconception phase, you know, we are connecting with our children, the spirit of our children, their souls. You know, we've had the opportunity to actually meet them and see them and learn their names, and they're coming to us in dreams, they're coming to us in meditation, they're sending us super cute little signs all over the place. I've started documenting them, and you know, we're just really taking it really seriously. How can I be of the utmost purity of heart, of mind, of soul, of body, of intention, so that I can be the best me that I can be? And something that's really profound that's come of this for me, there's two things I want to share here. Number one, the second one is a couple of books, but number one is this really deep integration that I am already a mother. I am consciously mothering myself, and I am spiritually mothering the souls of my children who are not yet in this physical plane yet. Talking to them, doing womb work, you know, praying for them, praying for their souls, because everything that ever is, was, and will be, right, it's all happening at once. And so they already exist, and I can consciously choose to work with that. That is the best thing that I can do for them right now. And it's been an incredibly emotional journey. I weep regularly because I am so consumed with love for these beings that it actually takes my breath away and brings me to my knees. And the fear of how can I possibly love something this much that isn't even here yet? And how am I going to feel when they are here? And so just sharing that of whether you have kiddos or you want to have kiddos or you don't know yet if you want to have kiddos, your preconception phase can be incredibly long. It can be years long. And I think, you know, just being conscious and open with each other that like that is where we are and that is an intention and something that we're focusing on has been really powerful. Before I pass it off to my lovely counterpart here to talk about these things from your experience, I want to share two books. The first book is called Eros Ascending. If you look it up, you'll find it. And this book is a radical kind of new perspective on sacred sexuality, on intimacy, and most importantly, using sexual energy, which is the energy of creation, to heal and to deepen in your relationships. That can be with yourself, it can be romantic, it can be many things. And so I really recommend that. I'm early on in it and already I can tell this book is going to completely transform our relationship. The other one is called Psychedelic Mysteries of the Feminine. If you are a feminine energy person, whatever that looks like in your experience, or you want to learn more about the feminine, there's a lot of healing that is asking to be done right now between the masculine and feminine in this world. And this book really just talks about the power of the feminine and how, you know, the feminine were like the original shamans. And it is obviously psychedelic, tied in with plant medicine and just really working with the energy of the divine mother and all the different ways the feminine manifests, you know, the moon. And again, I'm early on in that one as well, but it's already proving to be really profound. And so, you know, just a friendly reminder, whatever you're exposing yourself to, be it books, TV, music, is programming your subconscious. And so if you're someone who's like on the path and maybe you're struggling with something or trying to break a pattern, or you're new in this and, you know, you're not maybe seeing the results you want, I would take a look at what you're consuming. Anything you are putting in, on, or around your body, your mind, your, you know, food, etc., is impacting you. And so just offering those things is some things that have come to me.
The preconception phase is really beautiful. Ultimately, it is an act of surrender as well. Because, at least for me, I definitely got attached to stewarding children at a certain time. And this practice of preconception has really asked of me to surrender all timelines, to really focus on my spiritual growth and my relationship with my partner as the main focus, in trusting that conscious parenting and conscious children will come as a result of that when it's aligned and when it's ready to be done. Really bringing myself to work tirelessly on the spiritual path to being the best version of myself that I can be and heal everything that I can possibly heal within myself to create space energetically and spiritually for these kiddos to come down and not have the burden of experiencing and healing the traumas that I chose not to work through. And every step that we can take as people on this planet to heal and to really work through the experiences that we have been given from those before us creates the opportunity for our children and the generations that come after us to reach higher heights and bring more light into this world.
It just got really hot in here. That's been a huge part of the preconception stuff for me, has been really consciously knowing and choosing to focus on when I just don't feel like doing it anymore, continuing on for the spirit of my children, and not even just my children, but all of the children that come after us. You know, we talk so much about the ancestors. I don't think we talk enough about the future generations. I want a better world for everyone that comes after me in this planet. And so I do the work for that. And then when I do that consciously, I have this experience of really powerful emotion. I mean, all consuming in my body emotion, where I start sobbing and I say, my kids are never going to have to experience that thing. My children are never going to have to wonder if I do my job right, if they're loved. My children are never going to have to experience some of the things that I've experienced because I'm healing them and I'm choosing to end the cycle. And so to all of you out there, you warriors doing this work and cutting those cords and ending those cycles and healing those traumas, you're healing it for yourself, you're healing it for your ancestors, and you're healing it for the future generations as well. Keep going, because that's how we change the world. Moving into our main section here on surrender. Now, we could really put the word here interchangeably, surrendering to love, surrendering to God, the divine, the universe, divine will. These are really interchangeable. We are going to use them all and we're going to use them randomly. Use whichever ones work for you and just know at its core essence of what we're talking about today, they do kind of all mean the same thing. You are surrendering to a bigger something outside of yourself. You are surrendering that egoic belief that we are in control. And so we're going to look at three core examples here. The first one being our trailer issue, which was a time when we got to surrender when we had a whole plan of how our last week in Boston was going to look. And that was completely derailed by losing four of those days to an unfortunate situation out of our control. We are going to look at an experience we had in Connecticut where we chose at the start of a day to completely surrender all plans in a way we never have done before on this journey, and what came of that. And then we are going to look at this car situation that we've been dealing with here in New York, which is surrendering in the face of an emergency. An actual, really challenging thing is happening right now. Can we surrender in those moments of chaos, of conflict, of emergencies? So starting with the first one, looking at this trailer situation. In essence, we took our trailer in on a Friday morning for a routine maintenance, and it ended up being something really severe. We found out that our front axle, which if you've listened to our show, you know that we have already entirely replaced our rear axle and wheel bearings and everything. We found out that our front ones had failed. We actually had no brakes at all. And so they were supposed to be able to get it done that day. Then they couldn't get a part in time. And then on Saturday, they got it all together and there was a new electrical issue. And then they were closed on Sunday. And so basically what was supposed to be a few hours on a Friday, where we'd driven 40 miles away from our campground, where we'd already paid for a site, ended up being, it was not safe to drive it. We couldn't park on their lot because of insurance issues. And so we ended up parking across the street behind a Dunkin' Donuts in a just random lot for 3 nights and 4 days. And it was a complete derailment of everything. We lost our whole second/last weekend in Boston. We were away from our campsite, so we didn't have hookups. We paid for the campsite for all those nights for nothing, essentially. We weren't in Boston. We were 40 miles west of the city in the middle of nowhere, so it wasn't like there was anything to go do. And it was raining, which you'll notice is a theme in a lot of these stories. There's been a lot of rain over here on the East Coast. And so that's kind of the picture, right? We had this plan. We had a whole weekend planned. It was our last weekend in Boston. And this thing came up. And we just didn't really have a choice. And it called on us to surrender our plans.
This was actually a really challenging situation because if you know our story and you know our travels, we don't stay in one spot for very long usually. And we consciously made the choice to stay in Boston for 2 weeks so that we could really ground in, take time to explore the park that we were staying in, get back into our spiritual practices on a routine basis, do all the things that we had been putting off due to the constant movement and traveling. And when we went in for this routine maintenance, we were like, great, we're going to get this done, check this one off the list, and really get back in and ground over the weekend. That didn't happen for us at that time. And the way that we had planned it, given all of this experience, we were really being asked, can we ground anywhere? Can we turn this home into a sanctuary, wherever we're going, come into that Garden of Eden that we create in this relationship, and really surrender to love, regardless of our outside experience, right? Regardless of, you know, the plans that we make not going to plan, can we choose how we are going to react instead of going into a place of anger or frustration or you know, some of these heavier emotions that really bring us out of state of love, can we instead decide, okay, this is happening for our highest good, even if we don't know what that might be right now, we get to choose whether we're going to enjoy our days, whether we're going to make the most of them, or if we're going to sit in that energy and allow it to consume us.
We do get to choose. That is the beauty of free will versus divine will. And I think we're going to touch on this in all three of these examples. Divine will is, if you can imagine, the highest expression, the highest plan. Like, everything in your life is in alignment with prosperity and abundance and joy. That's divine will. That is the universe's will for us. We were born for abundance. It is our birthright to be free and at peace. It is suffering and the ego and the attachments and the stories and the unhealed trauma that keeps us out of alignment with that reality. And so, can we trust in the divine plan? Can we trust in God's plan, the universe's plan for our lives, that this happened for a reason? We were not meant to be at that campground. Turns out it was raining way worse there, and it would have been a soppy, muddy mess, and we would have been locked in our house anyways. But can we trust that plan? And something that came of this for me that I don't think we could possibly explain in this or even in its own episode is divine protection. Please know, when you are walking with whatever you call the divine, when you are walking in alignment, when you are walking in service to the collective, you are divinely protected. This is the fourth time in a year that we have had a very, very serious, complete failure of brakes, axles, wheel bearings, or tie rods. Actually, five now with this one. Like, not, oh, it was kind of going bad. No, we've taken our car or our trailer and we've now replaced all four axles between the two vehicles. So they're all new wheels, all new brakes, all new tires, and all new axles on both our trailer and our house after a year of this. But there have been five times now, I think it's five, of walking into a place and having them look at us and being like, you were in an extremely dangerous situation. We've had a couple of people look at us and be like, I don't really know how you're alive, how you're still driving. I don't know how this didn't fail. You have no brakes. You have your tie rod end, your wheel is shaking side to side. Your wheel bearing had seized and locked up. We are divinely protected. And I know that so deeply in my soul. I know that I am aligned with truth and I am aligned with love. And I believe that my life on this planet is in service to something bigger than myself, to God, to the collective, to my future children, to this planet. And because I know that and I honor that, I am divinely protected. And so please know, as you walk a life of loving consciously, you will be divinely guided, you will be divinely protected, and you will start to see where divine will and the divine plan is asking you to surrender so that you can live a life of absolute and complete joy and abundance.
Mm. And the key to that, my friends, is gratitude. It is such a powerful tool in these times where things don't go to plan and you consciously choose to find the divine in it. When you consciously choose to find God's will, even if you can't know for sure what that might be, if you create that within your experience with love and with gratitude, then everything else falls in line.
I'll be honest on this one, y'all, and we'll move on to the next one. We're not really sure why this happened. Mm-mm. All I can say is we were not meant to be in Boston for those 4 days. We were meant to be where we were. And if the only thing that comes out of that is that I know once again that I'm divinely protected, I'm okay with that. And so sometimes it's surrendering to the need to know the why. Why is this happening? Where are the hidden messages? Keep this as your reminder that you may not always see them. It might just be as simple as an opportunity for growth. In this one, I choose to believe it was that. It was keeping us from somewhere we weren't meant to be energetically. And it was another example of God saying, you are divinely protected. I've got you as you navigate these things. Our second example here, I will let you talk about a lot more, was we left Boston and we spent one night in Connecticut. and we did something we've never done before. It's actually pretty wild. In a year almost, I think next month, it'll be a year on the road full-time doing this RV life. We are like 35 out of 48 states right now. We have never once not had somewhere to stay. We have never once not booked somewhere to stay. Sometimes we wait till the morning of, but we always have something. Connecticut was just not lining up. I couldn't find any boondocking places on our boondocking app. I couldn't find any RV parks I liked that weren't ridiculously expensive. I just couldn't find anything. Like, no matter how hard I tried, nothing was in alignment. And so I said, you know what? Forget this. Why don't we just finally do the thing and stay at a truck stop or a rest stop? We've never done that before. We've never stayed in a parking lot. Like, let's just do it and say that we've done it. And let's just not have any plan today. And so we left Boston and we drove to Connecticut with nowhere to stay and no plan. And we're driving around, doing a bunch of stops, collecting our press pennies, getting lunch. And it's about 5:45 p.m. We're at our last stop that we weren't even going to go to. And we both felt really called and pulled to go to this place. It was a crystal store inside of like an art village. And I'm looking at crystals and this person sees me and is like aghast and taken aback. Come to find out they read auras and they saw my aura from a mile away. His words, not mine. And long story short, this person lives down the road and has a lot and offers for us to stay. And so much divine synchronicity came from this interaction by surrendering and not booking somewhere, which for me to do is huge because I meticulously plan our travels. By doing that, I let go of everything. There was no plan. Before the fact, I was like, we're just going to flow with the universe and see where God takes us. And wow, did the divine step in.
I mean, more so than I could have ever imagined. And you were preaching to the choir here, love, in terms of somebody who meticulously feels the need to be in control of navigation and knowing where I'm going and driving to and what speed and all of the things as we travel our home across the country. We both really dropped in after the experience of Boston and said, okay, clearly we're not meant to have a plan right now. Let's consciously decide to work with the Creator and say, okay, today we drive with no plan. We are open to the blessings that you have in store for us and the opportunities to bless others along the way. Show us where we're meant to be. And we drove. And we drove and we drove and we drove. And boy, let me tell you the story of Joey Love, because it is an amazing one.
Hi, Joey.
We go to this crystal shop and Joey sees Amorous, and a gasp is the right word I would use. I would say, you know, conscious person finding consciousness in a sea of drought, right? There's our experience with the East Coast is there's not as much light here at this time as some of the other places we've traveled. And so coming across conscious people has been an act of divinity in that we're brought together through synchronistic events in order to recharge our lights, in order to support one another. And Joey came up to me after talking to Amorous, after we kind of exchanged info, exchanged formalities, recharged each other's lights, and we were gonna kind of send off. And he came back and asked me a question that I don't think I've ever been asked before, and just looked at me in the eyes and said, can I share in your energy for a moment longer? And there was this moment of knowing between the two of us of, I see you. I see the work you're doing. I see the light you're holding. Thank you. And we parted ways. Come to find out, Joey decided to wait outside of the shop for us to come out and felt the overwhelming call to open up his home to us and offered us a place to stay. Immediately, for me and my experience, I felt a lot of resistance because I was being asked to overcome a lot of my own fears, my own judgments, and my own resistances to accepting things from others. I asked God to show me where to take my family, to show me where we were meant to stay. and God provided that. And my initial reaction was to say no. Why? Because we were planning to go to the truck stop. And I had subconsciously attached to that plan of like, no, we're going to go to the truck stop. It's 40 minutes in the direction we're meant to be going. If we don't go to the truck stop now, it's another 40 minutes tomorrow. You know, all these ego things about thinking about the future, thinking about the past, and not being present in the moment of this person is offering us a place to stay. So we go to the gym to go do some laundry and to go do our showers and our routine, and took that time to drop in with God and say, is this an alignment for us? Which was really important. And in that meditation for me, God said, trust Joey. That's all I got. Trust Joey. I was like, okay, I'm going to set aside my fears of this person that I don't know. I don't know their experience. This is my home. This is our family, our puppies. We're going to go and we're going to spend a night on faith. Lo and behold, Joey is a beautiful and loving conscious human who is also walking the path, and we had the opportunity to really support them through experiences that they were experiencing and really just have a wholesome connection that was synchronistic on so many different ways.
Yeah, it was honestly unreal. We surrendered. We just completely said, all right, universe, you've got it today. We are just not going to book anything. And everything was aligned. Aligned food was presented to us, you know, just so many beautiful experiences. And then, yeah, here we are. It's 6 p.m. It's getting dark. It's time to go drive to this truck stop because I just can't find anywhere that I feel aligned staying at. And God walks Joey Love in. And it's like, talk about getting our attention, because I would never just go stay at some random person's house. But someone who calls themselves Love, like, that's literally everything of my existence and of our life. His phone number had angel numbers in it. His zip code had angel numbers in it. I got a resounding yes twice to trust this person. They had a big lot, and, you know, his dad parks a trailer there, so it was super trailer friendly. The universe provided you chicken of the woods mushrooms. Mm-hmm. We were right by water. Like, it was just, it was really, really special. And one other really key thing I want to touch on here is, you know, in trusting the divine plan, it is so beautifully designed and complex beyond what you could ever understand. The universe, God, the creator source, uses things for a million different reasons. We could never see all the layers and dimensions. And an example of that is, not only did we not have anywhere to stay, not only was his house right down the road and all these other things, and it could fit a trailer, and he's a conscious person, and we got to share in this beautiful connection and make a lifelong friend. The day before, his German Shepherd of 18 years passed away. He had just had to put him down. And we have a German Shepherd. We have four dogs. And so here we are, 24 hours into this person's grief and, you know, sadness of missing their dog, of an empty home with no dog. And we get to bring in dogs, and we get to bring in a shepherd to share some puppy love with this person. And so all of this to say, before we move on to this third point here, you can surrender before. If this, to me, was the perfect example of completely living in alignment with the universe, like, no plan, following where we were guided to, choosing faith over fear, trusting everything, knowing we're divinely protected, like, all the things we're talking about here today, we did that, and we had a perfectly aligned day, and everything that we needed was provided to us, everything. And if you can do that in your life, I have a sneaking suspicion it'll be the same for you. Moving on to our third point here. This one's a little bit different. So on the first one with the trailer, we talked about you have a plan and then things don't really go to plan, right? And like, can you surrender in those moments? And then we looked at surrendering before the fact. No plan. I trust you, God. Lead me where you want today, universe. I'm yours. I'm just experiencing this life. This third one with our car is surrendering in the face of an emergency or a conflict or a moment of chaos. And this one's really important. And I'm actually like having massive downloads and borderline getting emotional looking at these three, because I can see God source universe preparing us for what's to come, and what's to come very soon, friends. And so it would probably be very wise to start to take these lessons in and see how you can incorporate this, because we are moving into unprecedented times, which we'll touch on a little bit here soon in the spiritual section. Can we surrender in the face of an emergency? We were towing our house, 45 feet long total, in the middle of New York City on a Saturday in the rain in rush hour traffic. It's quite literally, if you asked me what would be your worst case scenario of what could happen on this journey, this would be it. I'm not even kidding. Like, the highest, most extreme of anxieties, all of my anxieties in one, happened in this moment. We broke down. And I had just told you, as we were driving into New York City, maybe 30 miles earlier, I had literally said, isn't it wild that we're coming up on our 1 year of being on the road full time and we've never had a breakdown? What a miracle. I was giving gratitude for that. Like, just recognizing that we have had a slew of mechanical issues. We have a quite high bill of repairs. Thank God we have a warranty on our trailer, so we never pay for any of that. That was another hidden blessing, was getting some free manufactured spending on getting that warranty back. But we have never broken down actively in a moment where it wasn't drivable. That was certainly the case this time. We had our heater hose pop off, fail of on our engine, all of our coolant drain, white smoke, all the lights coming on, undrivable, engine shuts down in the middle of the road. It was quite an ordeal. And in that moment, it was so abundantly clear to me that I was being offered a really beautiful opportunity. And I will be really honest, it was really hard, because everything in my body wanted to panic, wanted to have a panic attack. I have had a lifelong challenge of anxiety. It is related around cars. It is especially related around traffic, and big cities are very overwhelming to my very spiritually calm nervous system. And so this was really tough. I was shaking. I was nauseous. I was deep breathing and just really trying to move through this experience. And what I learned from this, obviously, again, surrender, but the big lesson that came for me is God, through grace, uses these moments for higher good. Everything can turn into something good. And what I mean by that is, number one, the first place we broke down was at a gas station. And as you are frantically running around trying to find coolant and figure out what's wrong with our engine and why it's smoking like crazy, a man approaches me and asks, excuse me, do you happen to have jumper cables? And that's a whole other divine story in and of itself, of we have a battery-powered jumper box in the Tahoe, which was my dad's car. And there's a really sacred and beautiful memory with my father around this object. And we've kept it, and we have jumped, what, 5 people now on our travels? We get the opportunity. We've never needed it, but man, do we jump other people. There was like no one else in this gas station. The gas station didn't have jumper cables. We're in a very city area where there isn't really much around. And this man's also in the middle of the street. And we got to jump them and get them back on the road. And so had we not been there in that moment, who knows when he would have gotten jumper cables. So that's, you know, that's opportunity number one, to look back and be like, oh, the minute that man approached me and asked me that question, I almost burst into tears and I started laughing and I said, I got you, bro. I'll be there in a minute. And I get into my car and I'm out loud talking to God and I'm like, I see you, God. I see that you are in this. I know exactly why I'm here right now.
It was another opportunity yet again to really dive into our spiritual practices and be able to hold our frame, because New York, if you've never been, think about the most overwhelming experience that you could possibly think of and crank that up to the highest intensity and just like leave it there. It really is so intense. And for me, who always has an opportunity to work through states of overwhelm, this experience was really, really rattling, because seeing smoke like really plume out of our engine was a shock. And having to get out and diagnose something when I'm not a mechanic in the rain while we're on the road to our campground, we have to check in by a certain time, and we have a show that we're going to go to, again, attachments to outcomes, right? Attachments to plans. we again decided whatever is happening right now is for our highest good. The most important thing in this moment is to hold our spiritual frame, is to hold a place of gratitude and love. And on this third time, at this high level of intensity, right, we got kind of like the lower level, we got this middle level, and then now we've got this really high intensity, like, can you hold your spiritual frame? We both looked at each other and made the conscious decision to say, yes, we're going to work as a team, and we're going to get through this moment, however long it takes.
We just high-fived each other.
However long it takes, we know that we are provided for. So let's figure out what God has in store for us, and let's be in a place of love. And lo and behold, we broke down minutes away from a Pep Boys, which at the end of the day, on a Saturday, we were able to get in. They had the part next door. They had the opening for us to get it done and for us to be on our route. And so we were able to get everything fixed. As the moment we decided to surrender our plans completely and say, nothing is more important than holding our spiritual presence in this city right now, ensuring that we stay in a place of love, everything else fell into place.
Exactly. And in hindsight, the fact that I ever thought that I was going to want to go into New York City at 7 p.m. on a Saturday for a Broadway show, we ended up going on Sunday at 2 p.m. and that was already overwhelming for me. So thank you, universe, for causing us to have to reschedule that show. So we get to our campground, and at this point, we have been traveling for 8 hours, only 150 miles or so, just from, you know, the southwestern part of Connecticut to New York City, not far at all. It's taken 8 hours. It's 8 o'clock at night. It's raining. We're exhausted emotionally, spiritually. We went to war today and won. And we pulled into our site and they put us in the wrong site. And so you had just started hooking up our power and things and we had to move. So we move over to our new site. And as we're pulling into that site, our check engine light comes back on. It is now Saturday night. Nothing's open on a Sunday. And we just were like, you know what? We're not going to deal with this right now. Sunday, we have started a new tradition recently where we are observing the Sabbath. And what that looks like for us is a one day a week entirely dedicated to spiritual growth. We do not drive on that day. And so we said, you know what? It's going to sit there for a day. We're going to commute into the city tomorrow. We're going to go to church. We're going to go to our rescheduled Broadway show. We're going to go on this spiritual mission. More on that in a minute. And it's a Monday morning problem. We can't change it right now, and we're not going to let it affect our day. And we're going to trust that whatever's meant to come on Monday, even if that means we can't check out on time and we have to pay for this decently expensive RV park in Long Island another night, then that's what's meant to be. And so it was another opportunity to surrender and to not allow, which is like a core old pattern of ours that mm-hmm. we're doing a great job overcoming, allowing a challenging situation to just ruin our mood for the rest of the day or the weekend or whatever it is, the rest of an event. And again, it really goes to show how God universe can use these things for our highest good, because lo and behold, it was a lot of check engine codes going off, but mostly misfires. And it was related to this stupid spark plug. Way back in Oregon over a year ago, before we hit the road, we had this exact same issue happen. And while we were towing on a trial run, actually, and it was our spark plugs. And our engine is this bougie upgraded. We have the Z71 V8 engine. It's the bigger towing engine. And so there's one spark plug that's like impossible to get to. Like it takes multiple people, multiple hours to get this one spark plug. And I've sat here for a year telling Eric and knowing deep in my gut, because our stupid Stabilitrack light comes on sometimes, and once every couple months we get a low oil light. I was like, it's that damn spark plug. And I knew it. I called it this morning when you took it in. I was like, it's that spark plug. And what do you know? There's a Chevy here that gets us in at 8 a.m. on a Monday morning in freaking New York City. And it's a spark plug. That's it. It's just a spark plug. And they're repairing it right now, and we're going to be on our way. So once again, I could have been like, oh my gosh, more car problems. I could have let it ruin my day. It was just a spark plug. And now I don't have to see that stupid Stabilitrack light or low oil light. And think consciously about this annoying spark plug that I know they didn't install right. It's going to be fixed now. And so talk about a blessing, talk about a win. When I look at all three of these examples, whether it's surrendering when something doesn't go to plan, or surrendering before the fact and not having a plan, or surrendering in the face of an emergency, all throughout these things, more than anything else, if you take one thing home from this episode, I hope that it's this: free will versus divine will. When we are trying to be in control, we have that in the beauty of free will. We can choose whatever experience we want. Isn't that cool? Like, we can choose complete bliss and joy and perfection, or we can choose to be pissed off all of the time. We get that choice. And when we can switch into divine will, which is surrender, that's what surrender is, surrendering to divine will. God, source, creator, universe, I am allowing you to lead me, to be the co-creator of my life. I'm co-creating. My part in co-creating is in showing up in alignment and surrendering. Your part is in bringing all the magic and beauty. And when we can do that, we move from unknown outcomes that are very often challenging or suffering based or uncomfortable at a minimum. It's typically not in alignment with the highest expression. Or we can have loving outcomes. We can have peace and bliss and joy and all of these beautiful experiences I keep naming, because that is what divine will has for us. So if there's one thing that you take home from this, please know, if you can surrender to love, if you can surrender to God, to the universe, to whatever you call it and believe in is out there, if you can just surrender control and fear and panic and all of these things and just say, you know, car broke down, trailer broke, thing happened, it's raining, thank you, Mother Earth, for cleansing my aura, then you can move into love. You can move into this space of being in alignment with divine will. And I promise you, there's so many beautiful things waiting for you. We couldn't touch on them in this episode. We surrendered on not having a place to eat, which normally you'd spend like an hour frantically trying to find a restaurant. And we were given one of the most exquisite vegan restaurants in New York City, right next to our freaking theater for our Broadway play. And my God, was it exquisite. You know, there's just so many ways that the universe wants to bring you good. The universe wants good for you. That is my take home from all of this, because let's be honest, y'all, this last 2 weeks kicked my butt. It was brutal. It was stressful. It was so overwhelming to my nervous system. I cannot stress enough to meditate. That's so important right now, and to ground. It was really hard for me. I've cried more in the last 2 weeks than I have in months. And it's been so good. It's been so alchemizing. It's been so freeing to just see in everything. I see you, God. I see you, universe. I know you're here. I know there's a plan. Even if I can't see it, I know it's there. And just trusting that, I've literally watched so much in my experience transform this last few weeks. Mm.
God, I always say, God is the most intricate an amazing designer there ever was, and so much so that we can't even possibly begin to fathom all of the intricacies and all of the synchronicities that are laid out in this beautiful life that we are living. When we choose to take our free will and co-create from a place of fear or anxiety or lack, we are putting that energy into our lives and creating experiences that are a match to that. For example, if I'm worried that there is not going to be a place for us to eat, and I'm spending my time and my energy worrying about that and focusing on that, it's taking me away from the present moment of what God has in store for me in that moment. If I choose to surrender and say, God's got me, God has a plan for whatever we're meant to experience, then we are co-creating from a place of gratitude and love and faith. Now, notice the difference in the energetic signature of making an action in our lives based off of a fear versus making a choice for our life based on faith. When we are basing on faith and basing on knowing that the divine has a plan that can only come from a place of unconditional love, because that is all God is. We are aligning ourselves with that truth. When we choose to align ourselves from a place of fear, we are co-creating that experience. We bring that energy into our life, and God is such an amazing designer that they still use that experience for our highest good, so that we can learn a lesson, so that we can gain more spiritual knowledge or help somebody on that path. And so regardless of whether we align ourselves to divine will or we choose to utilize our free will, we will always be guided back to a place of love. It's just about surrendering to the experience, enjoying the ride, being present, and being grateful.
And I want to add too, because I was getting this download while you were talking, surrendering to divine will doesn't mean like you have no control and you don't get any say in your life. God will lead you to the exquisite vegan restaurant because you surrendered needing to psychopathically control the outcome of knowing we're going to have food. And this is so serious for us because, as we've said on here before, we're like organic, vegan, no seed oils, et cetera, et cetera. So our diet is pretty hard to find out in the modern world. When you surrender to that, you will be brought an exquisite vegan restaurant. Your free will is for you to decide what on the menu you're going to eat. And so you can see, like, surrendering to divine will and to love doesn't mean you don't still have your free will. It means using your free will the way it was intended. Right? Our free will was intended to be when the moment of truth has been brought to us. Do you want a red apple or a green apple? Not do you want an apple or that shiny looking poisonous thing over there that's Doritos. Divine will wants you to have an apple. Free will wants you to choose which apple. And we have confused free will of free will is Doritos versus apple. I mean, it technically is, but choosing the Doritos, you're going to poison yourself and you're going to suffer.
Yeah. Stay away from the shiny Doritos, everybody. You bring up a really important point here. And really what this comes down to is like co-creating this life with God. Like you said, it doesn't mean that we don't have any control over our life. It's about setting an intention and saying, I want to have this experience of eating healthy and having exquisite food crafted by conscious individuals, and then releasing it. Not saying, I want to have this experience and thus I must go out and find this experience. It's setting the intention and trusting that God will bring that into your sphere with complete knowing and complete faith.
Absolutely. So our last little section here is kind of like a spiritual check-in. I didn't really know what to call it. I really want to talk about something, an experience that we had here in New York City. You know, if you're listening to this, you may have heard the term light worker. Maybe that means something to you. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe you don't really understand it fully. To me, and I personally do light warrior because we are in spiritual warfare here, friends. More on that in a moment. Light worker, light warrior, whatever feels good for you, is an individual who is choosing to serve something greater than themselves, usually both the planet and the collective and God source creator and the universe and a divine plan. It's like many things, but choosing to serve something outside of yourself through holding and bringing the light, through doing that inner work, through activating the planet. You know, it can be grid work. It can be so many things. It's a conscious choice of I am here on this planet in service to everyone and everything else. Also, obviously, my soul's evolution by doing my inner work, that's a light worker. And I personally identify as that. I call myself a light warrior because that is how I aim to live my life. And in being that, I really like the bugs to a light example. The brighter your light shines, and whoo-wee, did we get this experience in New York City. We've been to New York City once before, a year and a half ago, when we were early on in our consciousness journey. We are wildly farther along in that journey now. We got this experience of the brighter your light shines, the more all things are going to be attracted to it. We are all inherently attracted to the light, whether that's a person, whether that's an entity, whatever that may be in your experience. And so when a a light this bright, as we saw by Joey Love being so aghast he almost fell over in New London, Connecticut, a light this bright attracts people. And if it's not, it's interesting. I can't say their experiences, but what I've come to see is it's confusion. We get stared at a lot in public. We go into these big cities and we're just like these beaming balls of light. Like, we just look different. We just have this light to us. People point it out all the time. All my family and friends are always commenting on social media. They're like, you look so happy. You're glowing. Your aura, your light. Like, it's so bright. You will naturally attract, you know, things to that of both polarities, right? And so there's these really beautiful opportunities right now in the spiritual and energetic and physical times that we're living in over these next 4 to 6 weeks as we move into election time, as we move into some astrological times. We're in an intense eclipse portal right now. There's a lot going on, y'all, on many dimensions, more than we could ever understand, spiritually and physically. And as that's happening, we're going to be offered opportunities as tests of faith and as opportunities to strengthen our faith and capacity. You mentioned this in the beginning of the episode. It's like going to the spiritual gym. That's what we've been doing for the last 2 weeks. And my gosh, am I sore? I literally, right before this episode, I was just crying on your shoulder. And I just literally was like, I'm so tired. I want to go home. I don't want to do it anymore. Like, mama's tired. And I will keep going. I will keep fighting. I will keep holding the light. I will keep doing the inner work. I will keep choosing God. I will keep surrendering. I will keep choosing faith. I will keep choosing love, because I have made the choice to consciously seek that experience, to consciously seek the divine in everything. The experience that we had yesterday that I really want to share here to close us out, we chose to go into New York City. And most people, maybe you're listening to this and you're like, what's the big deal? Like, it's going into a big city. Eric and I live a very pure life. We do not usually go into the big cities much. We, from our food to our water to detoxing to grounding to basically living in the woods barefoot all the time, we live a very physically and spiritually clean life. And that's beautiful. And that works really well for us. It affords us the opportunity to have incredibly extreme spiritual advancements and consciousness and connection to God's source creator. In that, when we go into these moments, it's really tough on us. The noise, the light, we don't do artificial light. I found the light to be really off-putting yesterday. The pollution, the energy of thousands of people moving around you in close proximity. And we chose consciously to go into the city as conscious individuals to spread the light. To spread the light underground, if you're familiar with anything to do with the tunnels, to spread light there. As we were in the subway, I was just repeatedly meditating on the subway train, blasting light into these subway tunnels and deeper to spread the light to those around us. I imagined myself as this big bubble of light, and anyone who came within like 20 feet of me was getting charged. I was like kind of doing this fun little Cupid thing, beaming love at people, and, you know, just like really doing that. And to be able to have that experience, to make it through that whole day and maintain our frequency, it was hard. It was the hardest thing I've ever done spiritually in terms of maintaining my frequency. I mean, it took every ounce of everything that I had. Came home and did some sound, herb, water, all the cleanses possible of our energy. And it's going to take a few days to recover. But what came of that experience was consciously seeking the divine. We went into this and I said, you know what? I know I'm going into the belly of the beast. I know I'm going back into the matrix. New York City is quite literally the center of it all. It's the capital of the world. It's the center of the U.S., not geographically, but, you know, it's the center of the matrix, you know, the stock exchange, like literally the matrix, the financial matrix, several of the different systems within the matrix. I literally felt myself as we were approaching the city. I felt the energy of that city trying to bring me down and trying to distract me, right? All the pretty lights and all the things and all the poisonous food and all of the different things going on. And I got to say, no, not today. Today, I'm going to be the light, and I'm going to be me, and I'm going to honor me, and I'm going to be authentic, and I'm just going to love everyone. And in doing that, I chose to consciously look for the divine in everything. And there were so many signs and synchronicities. Like things, I'm like, I can't believe those words are on a billboard in New York. You know, spiritual messages. We saw a prayer on a screen in the subway system. Like the universe was with us and we were rewarded with some really magical and beautiful moments. And I'm just so grateful. And so spiritually checking in here to say it has been a really challenging time. We are in a different time. If you are spiritually tapped in, I know you know what I mean. It's really hard to put words to. Something has changed. Something has changed. We are in a really big spiritual window right now of powerful energy. It's potent is the word you used. And so I encourage you, consciously seek the divine. Consciously choose to be a light worker. Be a person who is in service to something and someone other than themselves. Beam people love. If someone cuts you off, beam them more love. If somebody's having a challenging day, beam them even more love. No matter what happens, no matter where you go, no matter what you touch, leave it better than you found it. Be the light, friends, because that is what is going to be required of us as we move forward in this world, as we build this new earth and more people awaken. They need us to hold that light down right now.
It's so incredibly important, more so than anything else right now, to be in a place of love and to hold that spiritual integrity, because with what is shifting in our world right now, we can't possibly know what's coming. We can't possibly know. And there are people in our experiences and that we are relating with that haven't had the opportunity yet to heal. And by us creating gardens of Eden across this country, across this world, we are providing sanctuary, not just in a physical sense, but in a spiritual and an emotional sense, for people to come and find sanctuary within us when they can't find it within themselves. It has been a big practice for myself over these last 2 weeks to release my attachment to getting 3D and physical work done, and to really, really reprioritizing my life so that my spiritual practice, my connection with God, my relationships are the most important thing, and that everything else falls after that. Because we are nothing without our connection to the divine, and we are nothing without each other. Regardless of what this matrix and what this world and what this society has told us about working being the most important thing, finances being the most important thing, it's all backwards. Love each other, love the creator, and everything else falls in line afterwards.